Turn to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Like I said, this sermon isn't real deep. But hopefully the Lord says something to you out of the book. Be going through quite a bit of scripture. Psalm 8 is where we'll start here. And Psalm 8. And we'll read the whole chapter, Psalm 8. Bible says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And I'm going to pray, and his message is called When I Consider. And it's taken from verse 3, When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. And David goes into a couple of things he considered. And this message is a couple of things as a Christian you should consider about the Lord. Dear Lord, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for faces in front of me that are looking to you, Lord. They're not looking to me, God. I can't give them the meat from above. I can't give them the spiritual meat that feeds the soul. But you can, Lord, and I pray your book would give it to them. I know that what they need, Lord, is going to be found in these words tonight. And I pray that you would just open some hearts to the truth and help me to be out of the way, Lord, and just humble myself. And I pray the good shepherd would take care of the flock tonight. I know you always do, Lord. Help me not to get in the way, though. And I pray that you would fill me, Lord, and help me to speak plain and clear. And Lord, I pray that your word would go forth and it would be just a blessing to everyone's ear tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, people always say, I'll take it into consideration. Or they always say, take all things into consideration, like I said, or I'll consider it. You always get that. You hand a person a tract, they'll say, I'll consider reading it, or I'll consider this, I'll consider that. And like I said, there's some things that you need to consider as a Christian. Now, if you're unsaved here tonight, just keep your ears open. There's going to be something that for you at the end, for sure. But right now, just bear with me. And the first thing, as a Christian, you should consider is God's works. Consider His works. Consider His works, and a lot of them I'll go into here in a second, but why you should consider God's works, number one, they're far greater than man's. Far greater than man's. That's the first thing you'll notice. When you consider what God did, you're not going to be able to compare it to man's. You're not going to. You're going to find flaws in what man has did. Very simple. Very simple. People always are finding flaws with what I did. People are always finding flaws with what you did. It's a thing that you can find flaws in what man did. But I'd like to find anyone here that can find a flaw in the heavens. You can't. I always hear people complaining about all sorts of things, but I've never heard anyone complain about the heavens. I've never heard someone say, man, those stars are out of place. The Lord, when He does something, He does it right. He hangs everything perfect, just perfect. I've never heard anyone complain about a rainbow. I've never heard anyone complain about some of the mountains girded with majesty. And because there's nothing wrong with what God has made. Very simple. But another thought is this, is when we look at the stars, and we consider, like David, what he made, we're saying to ourselves, we're not worthy to look at this. You know what God says when He looks at the stars? He says, they're not even clean in my sight. That's the God we serve. That you got to keep that in the back of your mind. The greatest things that we can see, I'm going to go into it, but you can't compare them to the God that's unseen right here. He's something else when we see Him. And His works are greater than man's. And in Psalm 111, 2 and 3, I'm going to read this. If you'd like to turn there, you can turn to Psalm 111. And I like to look at the character of God's works, the character. Man's works, there might be some blood behind what they did. There might be some lies upon. You go and look at some of this great stuff that man made. That's the one thing I don't like about the city right here. I'm from out in the country. You're in the city, all you see was what man made. everything. And that's why people like to live in the city. They don't want to look at what God made. They don't have a taste for what God made. And there's some great things man has made. Some of these bridges are magnificent. But you don't know what kind of character went behind those. What kind of men made these things? You know God's things are right. God did not do anything deceitful. He did everything pure and He had good character behind His works. Psalm 111, 2 and 3, it says this. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. And verse 7, the works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. And verse 8, they stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. God's works are greater than man's and they're done with a good character. And God's works are needed. You need to consider God's works. They'll give you a hunger for God. Very simple. It says in Psalm, if you turn to Psalm 143, Psalm 143. As a Christian, sometimes you're so busy, running your race, which is good. But part of running your race is telling the Lord how great He is. That's part of what you do for the Lord. You tell Him how good He is. And the Lord's looking for that. That's what you're going to do in eternity. You're going to say, holy, holy, holy. You're going to say, worthy. You're going to be up there, and your mouth is going to be continually with the praise of God in your mouth. And there's no reason you can't start now. That's a good trend. You should right now, you should have the praise of God in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand, just like in Psalms. But if you go to Psalm 143, and this is what I noticed when I read this, is Psalm 143, verse 5. This is what David says. David is a man after God's own heart, so you can follow a couple things he did. David says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. You know what happens after David meditates on God's works and he thinks about what God did? Look at verse 6. He says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. David found out how to get a hunger for God. Very simple. Just consider what God did. You want a hunger for God? Just how about when He pulled you out of the miry pit and set your feet upon a rock and established your goings? How about when He got you out of that jam where you didn't have any hope? But Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, was right there the whole time. And He made a way. The Lord, He came right up to the Red Sea and then He parted it. That's how the Lord does things. He always comes right up to the brink and He says, you can't go back to Egypt and I'm going to get you through this. That's how the Lord gets glory. He says, call on me in the day of trouble and I'll deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. And you can consider a lot of times the Lord got you out of trouble. And if you go to Psalm 107 and then this is kind of, you're not going to have to turn too much more, but Psalm 107, I'd like you to notice this. I don't know how many times another verse shows up more than once, but there's a verse in Psalm 107 that shows up four times. And so if you memorize this verse, you got four verses. Amen? So that's something to think about. If you want to memorize four tonight, just get this one, you got it. Psalm 107 and verse 8, verse 15, verse 21. And verse 31 are all the same. So we'll take verse 8. We'll just read it. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. When you start considering God's works, you're going to consider a lot of them for you. You realize that? A lot of God's things were for you. Amen? Why did He come down with throne glory? For you. Why did He bear the thorns on His brow? For you. Why did He take the whip from the Roman legion, the soldiers? For you. Very simple. Why is he up in heaven now? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. The Lord. Why am I coming again? That I can receive you unto myself. Isn't that something? The Lord just all, you wouldn't believe how many things the Lord is doing for you. And that should give you a hunger for the Lord. You should be thirsting after Him in a dry and thirsty land. And it is a dry and thirsty land right now. And Jesus Christ is the only drink. Because Jesus Christ has the water of life. And that's going to be right here. And it's going to be in the Lord. You can't find that on this earth. It's not of this world. And the last thing is, you should consider His works. Because They'll please God. Like I said, Joshua, he had a generation of Joshua before they, you know, Joshua's dying off. All the elders of Israel are dying off. And right at the end of Joshua, chapter 24, you know what happens? All the elders die off. Joshua dies off. And the young generation didn't remember the works of the Lord. And that's when they went away off the deep end, apostasy. So a sure sign of apostasy, or you want to know if you're slipping, is you start forgetting what God did for you. Very simple. And you better keep it in your mind what God did for you. Now you don't have to, the Bible says, he that putteth his hand to the plow, looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. But there's definitely some things that should always be fresh in your mind. Every day you should thank God for your salvation. And you don't need to ask him to save you every day. That's why I told one guy, I said, you just need to thank him every day. That's a good practice. And the next thing, as a Christian, you should consider his wounds. Hebrews 12 says this. Consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Consider his wounds. Consider him that endured all that suffering and pain for you. The Bible says, consider him that endured. That's a command. You should consider what he did. And a lot of you have already, you know the story of the crucifixion over and over. And like I said, why did this holy man die? It was for you. He didn't need to leave the glory. He says, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with thee before the foundation of the world. He had the glory. He left it, came down here, lived in a sinful body like you, and yet he condemned sin in the flesh. Because he lived a perfect life, he fulfilled the law, and then more abundantly, he died for you and put all the sins, if you've trusted him, your sins are under the blood. Praise the Lord. Undeserved pain. And I'd like you to go to Psalm 22, and for this point, let's look at some of the things the Lord went through on the cross. If you go to Psalm 22, you'll see a lot of what the Lord went through. And we know David wrote this, but this is what Jesus Christ said on the cross right here. Psalm 22. 22 verse 1. This is Jesus Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I am not silent. Go to verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despise of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Verse 13, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. You go right down, and it says they part his garments. They could tell all of his bones. It says in Isaiah 52, he was marred, his visage was marred more than any other man's. You couldn't recognize Jesus Christ on the cross. And another thing about Jesus Christ on the cross, it's a good picture of him way up on a hill. Reality is, he was closer to people than they think. He was right here, close to the people, close to the road. He was right where they could see him. They could see him, they could smell him, they could see the blood coming off of him, and they could see his face. They seen the sign, Jesus of Nazareth, you know, or King of the Jews. He got laughed at. The Lord really, I don't know how many times you've wanted to just hide because you had a rough day. You had a rough moment. You had one of those moments where you're embarrassed. Jesus Christ was naked on the cross. He did not hide. He could not hide. That was the moment where he wished he could flee somewhere. He was a man. And he had to stay there. He had to be pinned on the cross to finish the work. And when he finished it, praise the Lord, he finished it. And I'll go into that in just a second. And I just went through a little bit of his wounds, his undeserved shame. And it gave us access to the Father. Praise the Lord. Another thing you should consider is the words. Consider God's words. I don't know how many here read your Bible daily, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You're not living today. You're not living until you start getting in this word. And When you start getting in this Word, you consider the words of God, you're going to consider you really don't know much. And another thing is you're never going to have anything occur to you that's never occurred to God. You're not going to have some new thought. Oh, Lord, I know something you don't. That's not going to happen. I mean, a lot of times you think, Lord, I'm in a situation that this is a whole new thing. He's like, no, it's not. It's not some new thing. I mean, that's a lot of times what you think. You're like, Lord, how do I handle this? I mean, the Lord's like, I know how to handle it. Jesus Christ was tempted in all like points as we are, yet was without sin. So as far as temptation, He knew all about it. As far as enemies, the devil himself applied the sting of death. That's who had the power of death at the cross. The devil himself got this far away from the Lord. That's why it says, let my adversary come near. It says, let him, you know, in the Bible it says, let my adversary. That was the devil himself. The Lord's calling him out. He's saying, come here. You're going to wax old like a garment. And the Lord took the devil on right there and finished the work. And they spoiled principalities and powers when he resurrected. Praise the Lord for that. And God knows everything. You should consider His words because there's a lot of promises in here. You better realize the promises of God and you better claim them. Hey, when you come before God, why don't you just use His Word? I'll tell you what, there's nothing sweeter to God than His own words. Amen? You want to come before the Lord's throne and get His attention? How about start quoting some of His Psalms to Him? How about quoting some of His promises? You know, here's some promises. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He says, you know, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. You know, he has some promises here. You know, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That's a good promise. He's not going to put the heat on you. He's not like going to let the devil come your way and tempt you where you can't bear it. That's a good blessing. He promises all things are going to work together for your good if you love me. Everything. You love him tonight? What a promise. When you walk out these doors, he's got everything working for your good. And he's going to do it for your benefit. But he's going to get the glory out of it. Because if you love him, you're going to give him the glory. That's why if you love him, he's going to be able to do that. So it's got to be on your part, and then he'll start doing the right work. He's a master composer of this whole thing. He's the author and finisher of the faith. He knows what he's doing. He's writing the whole story right here. And when you consider his words, like Jesus Christ said to his disciples, he turned to them and said, I want to tell you something. He said, this word is being fulfilled in your ears today. Isn't that something? You open this book, you're looking around saying, man, this is being fulfilled right now. This is like the days of Noah here. I'm telling you, it's getting wicked out here. You know, the Bible says in the last days there should be heady, high-minded, boasters, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. You're seeing this word being fulfilled in your ears. And there's some things that you've heard tonight, or you may know tonight, that prophets and kings wish they would have heard and wish they would have seen. In Luke 10, it says this. In Luke 10, this is Jesus Christ turns to his disciples, and he says this to them. This is a great verse here. He says this in Luke chapter 10, verse 23. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Do you know how many men, godly men, in the Bible wish they had a perfect sacrifice? You do. If you're saved tonight, you got a perfect sacrifice. They wish they would have had that. How many men in the Bible wish they would have had the one thing that would have took away their iniquities forever? How many people in the Bible wish they didn't have to travel to Jerusalem or, you know, go to a priest and they could just pray and worship God in spirit and truth anywhere? There's things you can do today that there's men in the Bible that wish they could have been there. Wish they could be here today. Because we got some things that they were looking forward to. And we got the Messiah. We got so much. And we're living in a blessed age. We might not see death, taste death. We might just see the Savior. And that's a blessed time to be in. And one of the last things you should consider, His will. His will. Jesus Christ said in the garden, He said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know what Jesus Christ, what happened after he said, Lord, I'm going to do your will? It says, and an angel appeared unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Once you submit to God, He's going to send someone to strengthen you. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. That's what happened to Jesus Christ. And if you do God's will, He'll give you the strength. Jesus Christ was a man, but He submitted the will of God as a man, and He got strength from God from heaven. That's very simple. That's what you notice there. And Jesus Christ, His disciples were going into town to get some meat. And this is a hard passage here, but I like it. Amen. They come back and they say, Master, have any man given thee aught to eat? And He says, My meat is to do the will of the Father, you know, do the will of Him that sent me and to finish the work. That was His meat. That's going to be your meat. That's your meat to do God's will. You're never going to be stronger than until you get a big old steak on your plate. Amen. I'll tell you what, I feel real good after eating some steak. And you can't just live on milk your whole life. If you're here tonight and you want to be strong, you want to be strong to fight for God, you want to fight a victorious Christian walk, you're going to have to get on some strong meat. And that's going to be doing His will. That's what you're going to live of. Paul says, even hath the Lord ordained that they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. What God has called you to do is what you're going to live by. That's what your meat's going to be. That's your spiritual meat. Jesus Christ figured that out. Jesus Christ told His disciples that. And you got to live off that meat. And everyone here tonight wants to have life more abundantly. Very simple. To find life more abundantly, the abundant life Christ talks about, you have to follow Him and take up your cross. Jesus Christ said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You want abundant life, you're going to have to lay hold of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. To have abundant life means to know Jesus Christ. And the only way you can draw nigh to Jesus Christ is to take up your cross and follow Him. Do His will. To have abundant life is taking up your cross. That's abundant life. And the safest place you can be is in God's will. If God calls you tonight and you say, Brother, you stirred my heart for missions. I'm thinking about going to some deep, dark jungle in Africa or wherever. I want to go there, but I'm scared about, you know, it's pretty, you know, there's no hospitals, there's no modern technology. Listen, if you're called to some remote place, that's not going to be remote for God. God's already going to be there. And that's going to be the safest place you can be is in God's will. If God wants you somewhere out there, you're going to have more provision out there, more protection out there, more safety out there. Wherever God wants you is where the blessings are going to come down. And if you're not where where He wants you, the blessings, you're going to miss them. It's very simple. And you may right now enjoy, I'm not trying to say you have to go anywhere. If this is where God wants you, this is where the blessings are going to come down. Just be where God wants you. That's where you're going to grow the best. And it's very simple on that. Consider His will. His will for you is, there's some things that tonight a lot of people are asking questions. What does God want me to do? It's very simple. Just do what you know to do. Walk in the light. Don't walk in the darkness. What do you know that God wants you to do? What has He revealed to you already? Well, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. His will is that you submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. His will is pray without ceasing. His will is, you want to know some things God loves? God loveth the cheerful giver. God loveth him that falleth after righteousness. For the grace of His lips, the king shall be his friend. If you have a pure heart, for the pureness of your heart. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's things you know to do. And if you start doing those things, Jesus Christ is going to come real close. And He's light. And you're not going to feel like you're in the darkness any longer. So that's the best you can do, is just do what God has shown you. Walk in the light. Be children of the light. And the last thing to spur you on in all these things is to consider His worth. His worth. You know, when you price something, you consider some things. You consider the rareness of it. You consider the purity of it. You know, if you get some diamond or gold, they melt it and say, all right, this is pretty pure gold, you know. They consider the desirability or the durability of it. You go to the store, you can buy some cheap off-brand thing. I'm telling you, I bought a bike and broke the pedals off in one day. I don't know if that helps anyone here. I should have bought a more expensive thing. I've had that over and over again. And a lot of you have learned that the hard way. You bought some piece of junk off some yard sale. Should have just went and bought the real thing. And it's because you didn't want to pay the price. Durability costs money. And valuability, or if it's valuable, it's going to cost some money. Now, How do you price God? How do you price His worth? How can you compare anything that you see? Gold, diamonds, what's more precious than that? Pearl? I don't know what the most precious thing is. But even if you had the most precious thing in my hand right now, on this earth, did you know God made that? How can you compare that little dinky thing to God, the Maker? You can't. How can you compare something seen to something unseen? How are you going to compare that, something that's going to perish, to something that doesn't ever perish? You're not. His worth is so far beyond it. Like I tell him, God doesn't like. Now I'm not going to say this because I'm not going to go into it. But listen, what does God think of money? He gave Judas the bag. You know, He didn't give it to Peter. He didn't give it to even his three closest. He didn't even give them the money. He said, "Listen, you're close to me. You don't need it. You got me." He says, you know, about money. He says, "You're going to walk on it in heaven. I'm going to melt down some fine gold, and you're just going to walk on it." I mean, that's what the Lord thinks of some of that stuff. And you got men scrapping around here. I didn't take a trip to Wall Street. I was thinking about it. I don't even want to go there. But you can just imagine them fighting over that dollar. And the Lord just looking down at that. And the Lord has His wallet. He needs some men. That's what He needs. And the Lord already has His wallet. The Lord's got blank checks. The Lord has all the money He needs. Because His work is going to be done by His strength. And He has a strong outstretched arm. His arm is not waxed short. So, His worth, how do you price Him? There is no, you can't price Jesus Christ. And like I said, just these are some things to consider. And that's just a simple little thing here, is consider His works, His wounds, His words, and His will. And most importantly, His worth. If you consider those things, you're going to be right where you need to be. And you know, tonight, I don't know what God would have you do. Like I said, just do what you know God wants you to do, and you'll find out little by little. You know, we're in a spiritual warfare, and the Lord gives you a direct order, and He'll give you another one once you fulfill that. Very simple. I mean, it sounds simple. I'm saying it's simple. Don't worry, when I get back down there, I'm same position. I'm like, what does the Lord want me to do here and there? But the Lord is not in the business of deceiving His children. So the Lord, the great deceiver is Satan himself. The Lord is not the great deceiver. The Lord is the good shepherd. And the Lord's going to lead you before you. He's going to go before you. And the Lord's not going to command you to go into some barrage and not be there. The Lord is going to lead the charge. That's how the Lord works. He's in the trench with you. He's not going to put you in some heated battle. He says, "I'm going to lead on because I'm the commander." And so tonight, just strengthen your heart. Hopefully the Word of God strengthened you, challenge you, and just consider His works. And I'll just end with a word of prayer. If you're here tonight and you're unsaved, His will is that you get saved. Consider His will. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I missed half the verse. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord's will tonight is that you shouldn't go to hell. But His will also is that He remains holy. He's going to be holy. So He's not going to change His character to let you in. That's why He came down. Because He saw the problem. Your sin. He saw His character. He came down and bridged the gap. He says, "Come freely. I open the well of life. You can come now. And it's your job to take the drink." And He drank the cup of wrath. Once you get in, you accept Jesus Christ, you can take the cup of salvation. Like David said, Psalm 113, He took the cup of salvation. Psalm 116:13. Sorry about that. My mind's a little... But I'll just end in a word of prayer. Amen. Dear Lord, I just thank You for tonight. I just pray that You bless each one here with a special verse from tonight. Or Lord, I pray that You just give them Your presence, Lord. God, if You manifest Yourself to us, Lord, we're going to have such a good time, Lord, in Your presence. We're going to have no taste for the world. We're going to be like Paul. We're crucified to the world, and the world's crucified to us. But God, I pray that we would just find Your favor, Lord. And if we find Your favor, Lord, we found life. And God, Your favor is more precious than anything in this world, Lord. And I pray that You just help each one here tonight to consider what You've done, and help us, God, not to be selfish, Lord. That's the sin of this age, is just self. Help us to get out of the way and let Jesus Christ take that throne that He deserves in our lives. and help us to bear our cross. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. This is awesome. You guys know Brother Galeotto. And I'm talking to his eldest daughter, Graziella. Lord willing, we'll get married next May. So she's already been studying German for like 7 years. So I figured it's about time she did something with it for the Lord. Amen. So the Lord's really blessed me with that. And we've been, you know, heading that way. And I'll be going there in December, hopefully to... Well, now she's listening to this, but she knows what's coming. Amen. So, that's it. So, I don't know. That's all I'm going to say. It's too much already, and her dad will probably get this. So, all right, that's it. Cut it. Yeah, cut it right here.